yourself and be broken in pieces. Assemble yourself from the east, north, south, and west and be broken in pieces. Take your counsels in the regions of the sea and it shall come to naught. Yes. Speak your word and it shall not stand, for God is with us. I've been talking to you about supernatural provision and arguing my point that the times we live in demands for supernatural supply of provision. And the fact is that before you and I was born, the Bible said in Jeremiah 1:5 that before you became a clutter in your mother's womb, I knew you. Turn to somebody and say, you are not an accident. Tell somebody else, you are not a mistake. You are not a mistake. Tell somebody else, you are not here by chance. You are not even in this church because somebody invited you. You are here because you were summoned by destiny. You were summoned by predetermined counsel of God. You are here by divine providence. Because God has a plan for your life. And you will not die till you fulfill that plan. If you agree with me, put your hands together and shout yes. The Lord assured me to raise 100 millionaires in this house. And I'm pushing for them, whoever they are. Whoever they are, I'm pushing. That the word of the Lord shall come into full manifestation uninterrupted in your life. Hallelujah. So we've been talking about divine or supernatural provision. And the Bible said, as your days, so shall thy strength be. What it simply means is, whatever dispensation or time you find yourself in, whatever is required and needed to fulfill God's plan for your life is already provided before you came into this world. The Bible said that God declares the end from the beginning. So he makes provision from the end to the beginning. And so whatever you need before you came, before you were born, was provided before you came. Number two, please understand that there is no lack, no want, no need in God. When an embassy staff of the United States or Canada or any of the nations of Europe come to Ghana, before they arrive here, everything they need is already in place. Because they are staff of the embassy, they are serving the interest and the foreign policy of their country and their nation. So their nation is under obligation to provide their need. May I submit to you, ladies and gentlemen, that if you are a true child of God and you are thinking transgenerational thinking and not today thinking, and you've lined your will up with God's will, and you are not yet doing your own thing, insisting on your own right like the first Adam, may I submit to you that everything you ever need and will ever desire to fulfill God's predetermined counsel and agenda for your life is in place. There is nothing like need. There is nothing like want for foreign embassy staff. It doesn't matter what goes on in this country. They don't feel doomsday. They don't go through what we go through. They are not subjected to what we are subjected to. Even if there is, in those days, in the early 80s, late 70s, and early 80s, when there was curfew in Ghana, the foreign embassies were not subjected to curfew. They have diplomatic immunity. They have diplomatic immunity. We had in those days what we call the diplomatic shop in my father's house at the airport. And we citizens had no right to buy from the diplomatic shop. And even though the shop was in my father's house and I was landlord, I couldn't buy from the diplomatic shop. And if I needed anything, I have to get my friends who were foreign diplomats to buy for me. I couldn't buy it. The Lord didn't allow me. And anything they needed was in that diplomatic shop. Everything they needed. And some of my diplomatic friends, through my outside connection, will pick me up once a month and will drive to Lome and gold shop with a diplomatic car. And we were allowed to cross all the borders and come in uninterrupted. Nobody searches us. Nobody stops us. We had diplomatic immunity that gave us a free passage. And wise citizens of Ghana were subjected to all kinds of torture and harassment. We had a free passage. Do you know that as a child of God, you belong to another kingdom? You are of this world, but you are not of this world. You are in this world, but you are not of this world. You have two citizenships. By natural birth, you are a Ghanaian. By rebirth or spiritual birth, you are a citizen of the kingdom of heaven. That gives you indemnification and divine immunities to enjoy certain privileges and to enjoy certain rights and freedom that folks who are not born again don't have right to. For instance, the Bible said the other day there was a young man by the name of Samson. And the young man was strong and he was very anointed that by his hands he could tame and kill lions. By his hand he could kill 1,000 armies of the Philistine. And one day he got involved through his uncontrollable passion with a woman who was a hired assassin that he shouldn't have gotten involved with. And the woman bewitched him and ensnared him and tried him so many times to have him killed. And yet, because he was veiled and bewitched and he was under a spell, it was as if he would never wake up and never understood the assignment of Delilah in his life. But Delilah was a hired assassin that was planted, assigned to terminate his assignment and assassinate him. And one time Delilah said to Samson, there is a mystery about you that I'm trying to find ways to demystify. And that, what is the secret of your strength? What makes you different from all other men? And Samson said, I am a Nazarite. I'm a man under the covenant. Ladies and gentlemen, we live in days and times that if you are going to beat this system, if you are going to be among those who will say there is a lifting up when men are cast down, then you got to be a man and a woman of covenant. Is anybody hearing me? If you're hearing me, put your hands together and say yes. And Samson said, I am not an ordinary man. I have feelings like every other man, moves like every other man, born like every other man, but there is a promise on my life and I live by covenant. And as a result of my covenant, I operate with supernatural capabilities. Somebody say supernatural. He said, I am a natural man, but I do supernatural and extraordinary things through supernatural capabilities because I am under a supernatural covenant. Somebody shout supernatural. And he said, I'm a man under covenant and I don't operate with the capabilities of my intellectual senses. I don't operate by flesh and blood. I am backed by providence, by supernatural capabilities that gives me supernatural audacity. Somebody say audacity. And she said, what does it take to reduce you and to bring you to the same level of any other man? He said, in the day that Razor touched touches my hair, I will be like any other man. Tell somebody, if it's a woman, say, you are not an ordinary woman. And if it's a man, say, you are not just an ordinary man. You're not. You are not just an ordinary man. Please hear me. I refuse to be an ordinary man. I am not an ordinary man. I am not like anybody else. I am a man under a vow. I'm a man of covenant. I'm a man on a purpose. I am on a mission. I am not here by accident. I am not here by chance. And nothing will stop me till my season is over. Hey! Kadibosata. The enemy wants you and I to accept and to believe that we are just ordinary men and women. It is not true. Tell somebody it's not true. He wants you to believe that you are just like everybody else. You are not. I am not like my siblings. I'm different. I operate with a different covenant. I am a man of promise. I'm a Nazarite. I am under a vow. And listen, you might see me as an ordinary man like you. And I make mistakes like you do. But even my mistakes, are you hearing me? As long as I stay in covenant and I'm under the vow of Elohim, even my mistakes will become opportunities. Are you hearing me? In life, instead of a disadvantage. There's something about people in covenant with God. You are on a mission. You are not ordinary. You may live in an uncompleted house. It still doesn't change destiny and potential. Destiny have nothing to do. Potential and destiny has nothing to do with geographical locations. It has nothing to do with the color of your skin. It has nothing to do with the circumstances surrounding your birth. It has nothing to do with who your father and your mother was or is. It has nothing to do with education, because I know people who are very, very educated, have been to the best of school, and they speak the Queen's English and slangs. And yet they are good for nothing. Are you hearing me? Jesus was born in a manger. But the fact that he was born in a manger did not determine his future and what he became. Born in a manger, but rose to the highest pinnacle in life. And the Bible said, God has highly exalted him and given him a name that is above every other name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee of things in heaven, on earth, and under the earth shall bow, and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Somebody put your hands together, give God some praise. You can't define me by the color of my skin. You can't define me by the color of my skin. You define me by the content of my character and by what I am carrying. You are carrying a heavy duty cargo. You don't even know what you are carrying. You are sitting by somebody who is carrying a heavy duty cargo that will impact the world, change his community, impact his generation. You are sitting by a transgenerational thinker and not a today somebody. It doesn't matter where you are living right now, in a kiosk, in a container, in a car. That has nothing to do with your future. It's just a matter of time, and we will see who you become and what you become. Give me a little time. Tell somebody it's a matter of time. It's a matter of time. I know you are in the lead right now. Keep leading. I know that you are the biggest thing right now. Keep being big. But don't forget that the Bible said the last will become first. and the first will become last. It's just a matter of time. My God, my God, my God, my, who am I speaking to this morning? Who am I? I'm speaking to somebody. I said it's just a matter of time. You believe it, and if you receive it, put your hands together and say yes. Genesis 2:8. And the Lord God
planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed.
You see, God created the heavens and the earth and the whole planet for Adam, for man. And that wasn't enough. God said, apart from the whole creation that I've made for man, I'm going to create a garden called the Garden of Eden. And I'm going to position or plant man. That's the way I'm planted. That's why every one of you who is not part of the home cells must be part of the cells. Because God never intended that anybody and any one of us to be an island to themselves. And he who stays and walks alone dies alone. Samson died alone because he didn't need anybody. It's dangerous when you don't need anybody. It's dangerous when you are all by yourself. I fear people who are loners. Loners are dangerous people because they have nothing to lose when they destroy. Isolation leads to elimination. 1 John 1:7, the Bible said, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, 1 John 1:7, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, then we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. Hear me. If you are not fellowshipping with the brethren, it only stands to reason logically that you are walking in darkness. And it doesn't matter what the reason is for not walking in fellowship with the brethren, it's still darkness. Whether it's because you are too successful, you have a wife, you are bigger than everybody, more enlightened, more exposed, have it all together, or you don't want to be offended, or you are hurt, or you don't want people to take you for granted or abuse you, whatever your reason is, it doesn't stand before God. But the Bible said, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, it is important and critical and mandatory that we have fellowship with the brethren. If you don't have fellowship with the brethren, you are in sin and you are in the darkness. So find a cell and be part of the cell. You can't stand alone. You got to relate to the brethren. And even though God created the heavens and the earth and gave it was all for man, God still positioned and placed and planted man in the Garden of Eden. And in the Garden of Eden, he said, till it, protect it, improve on it, enjoy it. There in the Garden of Eden, there were four streams. I don't believe that any man can make it with one stream of income. And let me tell you something. Your salary is not your source. Until you understand that your salary and your business, your job, your investment is not your source, you will live like any other man. You'll be limited. But if you can bring yourself to that place of illumination, that Elohim, that Yahweh, that Adonai is your source, then it doesn't matter where you live, because the Bible said he makes a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. It doesn't matter where you live on planet Earth, like the embassies, they are in strange places. Different embassies are in difficult terrains and areas where there is no food, water, nothing, but the foreign embassies, their staff are protected and taken care of. And there are American citizens in Ghana, that the American government and embassy is not under obligation to provide accommodation and food transportation and anything, but if there is a situation and they have to be evacuated, salvation for all, they'll be evacuated. That's all. Because they came on their own. They are not yet serving the interests of the United States of America. Are you serving the interests of the kingdom? Because if you do, I'm telling you that heaven is under obligation to make sure that you don't have a need. That at all times, he will make a way for you. You don't have to clap. Ladies and gentlemen, when Adam and Eve refused to submit their will to the will of God and insisted to insist on their will that we will do what we please, God said, as long as you will do what you want to do, because I can't override your will, because I created you to be a free being, and I will not override your will, get out of my garden. Go out there to the world. Everything is there. You go enjoy them. But this garden and the provision are placed in this garden. You can't have it. God kicked them out and sent an angel to guard the gate and the entrance of the garden and say, stay there. They are not coming back here. As long as they choose to have their own way. The Bible says, my ways are not your ways, neither are my thoughts your thoughts. Even as the heavens are above the earth, so are my thoughts above yours. Until we line our will with the will of God, we will struggle like all men. But if we will submit our will to God and be in the service of God, like foreign embassy staff are in the service of their country and their nation, provision is guaranteed. I'm telling you. The Bible said the Lord knows them that are his. Then the other day, David said, I have been young and now I'm old. Never have I seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging for bread. Are you hearing me, somebody? The reason why we struggle and we don't have enough, because it's about us. Young man came to see me the other day in business. And I said, young man, why do you want money? He didn't know why. He said, to pay my bills, take care of my children, and pay my staff. And I said, if that is the reason why you want money, and you want me to pray for you, and invoke the blessings of God upon you, it's a waste of time and energy. I am praying for you. I said, go out there and struggle. My prayers don't go out for people like that. I want people who understand that I'm not in business for myself. Look at Ephesians 4:28. Ephesians 4:28. Until you understand that making money is not about you, even though you must take care of your immediate family and everything, but you have to be one that thinks generational thoughts. You have to be one that lives for transgeneration. Why do you want money? Why do you want to be successful? If you don't get it right, if you don't get it right, if the foundation be destroyed, what will the righteous do? Ephesians 4:28. Let him
that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands, the thing which is good.
What is the thing that is good? Money is good. People say money is evil. Very ignorant people. I see a lot of intellectual ignorant people. Educated ignorant. They are educated, but yet very ignorant, and believe that if you serve God, you must be poor, and that poverty is a sign of spirituality. Who told you that? Poverty is no sign of spirituality. It's not. It's ignorant people that poverty vow. It's not in the Bible. It's all religion and the doings of men. And because people are ignorant and they won't take time to study and be illuminated, the Bible says you err because you don't know the scriptures. Look at, money is good. Money becomes good or evil. It all depends on who is controlling it and what they are using it for. Money in the hands of a drug dealer will promote more drugs on the market to destroy the young generation. Money in the hands of a righteous promotes righteousness. So it depends on who has it and what they do with it. Money is not evil. It's the love of money that is evil. The love of money is when money takes the place of God. It's when money and material things drives you. And I have dealt with some greedy people. I have dealt with some people Very greedy. Greedy people, even in this church. They believe money than God. Their faith is in money than God. Until something hits them that money can't solve. Then they begin to cry out for God. I just look at them and I say, Father, you know something? Punish them small and step in. Don't let them die, but punish them small. It's amazing. Have no faith in God. For them, money is everything. They value money than human beings. They value money than relationship. I am a very relational person. And I tell you, I have a principle. If winning or being right will make me lose my brother, then I don't want to be right and I don't want to win. Because my brother is valuable to me than winning and than being right. Because you will need a brother than being right and winning. For a brother is born for adversity. A brother is born for adversity. And two is better than one that has won. Two is better than one that is right but is won. You always need somebody. You don't have to clap. You don't have to believe me. But one of these days you'll find out. Hear me. Money and material things has limitation. Believe me, money, material things has limitation. Finish Ephesians 4 and 28.
Working with his hands, the thing which is good, that he may have to give to
now,
him
before
that
working,
needeth.
There's another word. Let him labor.
Let him labor.
Labor. The women who have kids understand labor. Labor is no joke. You should go to there. I've been to labor world a few times. It's crazy. And what amazes me is the kind of pain these women go through and the kind of gymnastics they perform in the labor ward. And after they have the baby, a few weeks after that, they want another baby. And I say, what is this, insanity or madness? It doesn't make sense. It's crazy. A damper. That is what labor means. He said labor to have money, and then the next thing, working. Go ahead.
Let them labor, working with their hands, a thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth.
That he may have to give to his children.
No.
To buy a new car.
Sir.
To build houses.
No.
But to what?
To him that needeth.
You know why there is need in the church? You know why there's so much need in this world? It's greedy few that controls everything. There's a greedy few people. That's why people like Warren Buffett have given 99% of their wealth to humanity. 200 billionaires have given 50% of their wealth to the world. It's unnecessary. There is no need. In Ghana here, there is enough to take care of everybody. But it's few greedy people who are holding on to it. I pray that the angel of the Lord will visit every one of them. And that a mischief will happen to them. For them to start releasing what they are holding on to for the benefit of others. That is the problem. The reason why the rich are becoming rich and the poor are becoming poorer is because some few group of people are holding on to everything. And they are mean and wicked. And they act like they don't have, but yet they are sitting on gold mine. May the Lord choke them and inject them. Oh, you are not saying amen? Some of you who are guilty and you are suspect, you are not saying amen. Let me show you another scripture. Come with me to Genesis 12. 1 and 2. Quickly, let's look at some scriptures fast.
Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation.
A great nation.
And I will bless thee and make thy name great. And thou shalt be a blessing.
Now I want you to look at me, hear me. This dude left his land. He didn't live with anything. He didn't have gold. He didn't have silver. He didn't have anything. He left with nothing. He didn't even have kids, a wife, and a nephew and a father who didn't have anywhere to go followed him. And hear me. Look at Genesis 13:2. The man didn't have anything and he lived in deserts. He lived in desert, in desert places. Look at chapter 10 and verse 2.
And Abraham was very rich in cattle.
And Abraham was rich.
No.
Is that what he said?
No, sir.
But what?
Very rich.
And this was God's friend. The Bible calls Abraham the friend of God. And some of the three powerful religions, Judaism, Christianity, Islam, all came from the loins of Abraham. And we say that, oh, if you are a Christian, if you are rich, you won't go to heaven because Jesus said it's difficult for a rich man to go to. You don't even understand the pretext, the protext to appreciate the context of the text. And you are just quoting it and you've made a doctrine out of it that anybody rich won't go to heaven. I know billionaires at this African business kingdom leadership summit, you will see billionaires and millionaires who are loaded, serving God. You see them. Because they understand the principles of the kingdom and the principle of ownership and the principle that God has set in motion for multiplication. We don't understand the principle of multiplication because people are very stingy and into themselves. He was very rich in what?
In cattle, in silver, and in gold.
In cattle, in silver, in gold. God is not angry with you when you become rich and very rich in cattle, in silver, and in gold. As long as you are using it to promote his church, his kingdom, and humanity, God is happy for you. It is when you use it and it controls you and you become greedy and enough is never enough and you grab and grab and grab. A young man came to see me some years ago. He had registered over 70 businesses in Ghana here. And I asked him, listen, what do you want money for? By the time he finished telling me his story, I just look at him and I say, you know, people like you, they don't live long. They die prematurely. He didn't like it. Then I intentionally put the fear of God in him. I said, people like you, you die prematurely. Because you are a greedy young man. You are buying, and he have every car you can think of. Every year he's buying. And I said, what is wrong with you? What is it with you? Why? Just because you have access and favor, you keep on cutting everybody. You want everything. And there are people like that in this country. When they have access to the top, they will use it to exploit, manipulate, cut everybody, block everybody. They are into everything. The next thing they will even go into is human spare parts. They will sell out and go into human spare parts, selling human bodies. It's sad. And because you don't understand the purpose of money. Abraham was very rich in cattle, in silver, and in gold. And he used it for a good purpose. Look at Genesis 14:14 quickly. I want to show you two scriptures before we move on. Mm-hmm.
And when Abram heard that his brother was taken captive, he armed his trained servants, born in his own house, 318, and pursued them unto Dan.
Look at me. This was a man that left and had nothing. And he had become so rich that the dude was a mogul. He was a mogul. He was an oil sheik, a business tycoon. So heavy, he had deep pockets, to the point that he had to raise 318 armed men in his house. How many armed men do you have in your house? And yet he was the friend of God and had 300, and the Bible didn't talk about how many wives and how many children, because in their dispensation they could marry as many as they wanted. But we live in a different dispensation, so don't even go there. And don't go and tell him what the papa said, you can marry as many as you want. I didn't say that. I said dispensations. See, I hear you. 1 Kings chapter 7, verse 5 and 6. 1 Kings 7, 5 and 6.
First Kings 17, 5 and 6. Mm-hmm. So he went and did according unto the word of the Lord.
Say, according to the word of the Lord. Talk to me. Say, according to the word of the Lord.
According to the word of the Lord.
Hear me. If we are going to make a difference in this world and be different from unbelievers and unsaved people, hear me, we must do it according to the word of God. Because God is smarter, wiser, and intelligent than you and I. And if we are going to make a difference, we must do it his way. You can't subject the word of God to reasoning and to logic and to philosophy. You cannot intellectualize scripture. You have to either do it God's way or your way. And it doesn't matter what the argument is. Whatever your argument is for not tithing corporate or personal, first fruit, giving offerings, supporting the kingdom and everything. Whatever your argument is for disobeying the word of God is disobedience. And delay obedience is disobedience. It doesn't matter what dispensation and time you live in and what the economy of your country is. If we will do it God's way, he will show up. Because God, the heavens rules in the affairs of men. The Bible said, he determines the rising and the fallings of kings and kingdoms. This dude is no joke. He said, let there be light. And light came. And the whole earth was covered by water. And he said, let the waters of the earth gather themselves and stay in a perpetual spot and not cross that line. And the sea dare not cross that line. Right from the beginning. And it was just a word. Let there be light. And there was light. Go ahead.
So he went and did according unto the word of the Lord.
Tell somebody, go and do according to the word of the Lord today. Today. From today. Hear me. This was a time of famine. There was no provision in the land. It was dry. No water, no food, nothing. Difficult. And yet he obeyed the word of the Lord. Irrespective of what your mind and reasoning and public opinion has to say, I dare to believe God. The Bible said he went and did according to what he was told. The word. Say the word, the word, the word. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. And faith is divine audacity that allows ordinary men and women like you and I to do extraordinary things in the face of adversity. I refuse to be restricted. I refuse to allow the economy to determine my destiny. The economy does not define my ability to do or to build or not to do. I don't operate by the economy. I operate by another economy. Please try to understand how this thing works. The American and foreign embassies, they operate by a different economy, even though they live in Ghana. And you and I have the same privilege. We do. We operate by a different economy. If need be, heaven is under obligation to feed us with angels' food. The Bible says, men ate angels' food. Above where we are, go ahead. Finish it, please.
For he went and dwelt by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. And the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning, and bread and flesh in the evening.
Look at me. Ravens? Turn to someone and say, ravens? Hey! Ravens are unclean birds. And they love flesh. They're unclean birds. And they love flesh. And yet, the Bible said, God commanded ravens to feed the prophet with what they love. What they won't share and give to anybody. God said, I want to make a statement. Prophet, ravens love flesh. And there is no flesh in town. But because you have obeyed my word, irrespective of what everybody is saying and your feelings, because you've obeyed my word, I want to prove to you that I can use anything and I can do anything because I am God all by myself. and ravens. The Bible didn't tell us the flesh and the bread came from heaven. It's possible it came from the king's kitchen, storehouse. Twice. He said it's true as if he was there. But watch this. Twice a day, the ravens brought flesh. And these are birds that love flesh, will eat it, won't share it with anybody. May I prophesy to you that God's provision for you, nobody will desire it. Nobody will covet your blessing. Nobody will hijack what is yours. I declare your blessing is coming uninterrupted. Your miracle is coming uninterrupted. Even demons will not block it. As a matter of fact, when the Bible says ravens, ravens are unclean birds. So they are type of demons. But God uses it. If God has to use Satan to meet your need, now that is God's, that is God's promise, not mine. Who he uses to bring my blessing, that one is his business. Whatever aircraft or whatever airline or vehicle he uses, his business. God decided to use ravens. Let me tell you something. When you fulfill all righteousness, God is under obligation to use anything to meet your need. I know some of you, you are looking at me somewhere because your religious mentality and the way you've been programmed and wired is not allowing you to agree with me. But I'm not worried about your religious argument, cry. Do you remember that God used the Pharaoh of Egypt to preserve all of Israel through Joseph? Do you know who the Pharaohs worship? Snakes. The Pharaohs, they worship snakes. Ahasuerus, he killed people. Ahasuerus will kill people for pleasure. He will let them bring human beings and they will cut you into pieces for pleasure. And people will be laughing and show how wicked he was. But God gave a young lady by the name of Esther, who understood that her assignment was not about her, but it was about the deliverance of God's people. And she was willing and ready to risk her life and sacrifice it for the sake of God's people. And God said, this man called Ahasuerus, who is wicked and all the kings of the earth are afraid of, I will give you favor before him and I'll put him in your hands. Hear me. I've been in situations and sometimes it marvels me and it blows my mind. How? Ghana, you don't know me. You don't know who your archbishop is. Because Ghanaians, we don't celebrate our own and we don't celebrate success. We are some very hypocritical people. We are very mean people, Ghanaians. I'm part of you, so I know what I'm saying. So I'm very, very careful. There are so many things I don't talk about here. I can go to Nigeria and give some testimonies and everybody, they will throw their chairs in the air. Ghana here, you try someone, they say, hey, or Chreno, Nenzu Aben, Cheno. He's bluffing. He's boasting. That is who we are. We don't celebrate our own. And it's a national curse. And until we break that national curse, we won't have stars and heroes among us. But let that national curse be broken in the name of Jesus. Hear me. When you fulfill all righteousness, please believe me, God can use anyone and anything to deliver your breakthrough. This week, I declare, there is a divine delivery coming to somebody right now. If you believe it, shout, I receive it. There is a divine delivery coming. You won't even know who delivered it. You won't know who delivered it. I'm telling you. You won't know. You will wake up and you will see the breakthrough at the doorstep. You will see the breakthrough at your door. It's coming in an email, a text, a telephone number, a WhatsApp. I'm telling you. There is a delivery coming to you by the angel of the Lord, by the hands of the Lord. And if God has to use ravens, he will use ravens. If he even has to use the devil, he will use the devil, because God is God. He can do whatever he wants to do because he's God all by himself. And if you believe it, shout yes. You know, the other day, I have one more scripture. I'll continue on Wednesday. Look at me. The other day, Samaria was surrounded. Samaria was surrounded by many kings and soldiers. And nobody went out. Nobody came in. They have nothing to eat. They were trapped and hemmed in. But I declare, anyone here trapped by debt, anyone whose wealth, money, breakthrough has been held back, and your deliverance has been delayed, your change has been delayed, I command your shackles to break. I command the breaking of shackles. I command the distractions of yokes. I break you free from that situation. I command a way out in the name of Jesus. I declare you are coming out of that situation. Anyone that has been put into a pit, like Joseph was put in a pit, I command you to come out of the pit. I command your rescue in the name of Jesus. I command your rescue in the name of Jesus. I declare you are coming out of that pit in the name of Jesus. If you believe it, shout yes. Sit down for 2 minutes. Now, Samaria was surrounded. There was no food. People, women were killing and eating their babies. That was how bad it was. It was so bad that as much as mothers love their kids and would kill for their babies, it got to a point where women have to kill their children, cook them, boil their babies, and roast them, make them steak to eat. It was so bad, and there was no way out. You know what God did? The king of Assyria was minding his own business. And God went to him and said, you know, I need to use you to provide for my people. So I want you to summon the king of Egypt, all these kings around, your friends. Call your network. Tell them all to come with gold, with silver, with food, oil, raiment. Look at it for me, kings, raiments. And you will see the kinds of things. You don't go to battle and to war with gold, raiments, oil, all those things. And God said, go and attack Samaria. Go and attack my people. So they came and surrounded the city. At that time, the king was angry with the prophet. Anytime there is problem, they blame the people of God, the men of God. Blame the prophet. And the prophet said, tomorrow morning by now, the price of corn, price of oil that is being sold for $100 will be sold for $5. The servant of the king said, even if God opened the windows of heaven and poured, it can't happen. But he didn't know that God had already made divine and supernatural provision. Bishop, are you ready? Read.
Then Elisha said, here.
No. Chapter and verse.
2 Kings chapter 7. From verse 1, then Elisha said, hear ye the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord, tomorrow about this time shall a measure of fine flour be sold for a shekel, and 2 measures of barley for a shekel in the gate of Samaria. Then a lord on whose hand the king leaned answered the man of God.
Those who have the ear of the king, a special advisor to the king. Go ahead.
He said, behold, if the Lord would make windows in heaven, might this thing be? And he said, behold, thou shalt see it with thine own eyes, but shall not eat thereof.
I pray that you won't miss your visitation. I pray for you that you won't allow reasoning and logic to cause you to stumble, to miss out on the day of your visitation. I lost times in life, when preparation, I'm talking about divine preparation, meets chance or opportunity, is a kairos moment.
Yes, sir.
Are you hearing me, somebody? But when opportunity comes and there is no preparation, you know, Winston Churchill said something the other day. He said, in the life of man, there come a time when destiny taps you on the shoulder to perform a duty that you were born to perform. And that within you is embedded the capacity to perform that duty. And he said, woe is that individual, and how tragic it is when that kairos and moment comes to find you unprepared to perform the duty for which destiny calls upon you. My God. I pray for you that the day destiny taps on your shoulders, when opportunity knocks at your door, that you'll be prepared to deliver. That you will not miss it. Tell somebody, I pray for you that you won't miss it. You won't miss it. I've seen people in life miss it. And I sit back and I say, what can make a man, such educated person, exposed, brilliant, intelligent, miss a moment of destiny because of intellectual arrogance? You think you can figure everything out? You think you can have answers to everything? What do you say to things you don't have answers to, and things you can't comprehend and apprehend and figure it out? What do you call it, and what do you say to things you can't analyze and define with your intellectual capabilities? That is where belief and faith comes in, and faith don't make sense. Go ahead, Bishop. Go ahead, look at it.
Verse 8, and when these lepers came on to the uttermost part of the camp,
lepers,
they went into one tent.
The Bible said God has chosen the foolish things of this world to confound the wise. I am among the foolish things. I'm one of those foolish things he took to confound the wise. And I thank God that I'm among those foolish things. I'm among those who were not chosen. I'm among those who were ostracized. I'm among those who men wrote off. I'm among those who are called as the stone that the builders rejected and has become the chief cornerstone. God said, it is not him that willeth nor him that runneth, but God that showeth mercy. The Bible says that it is not him that runneth. And the battle is not to men of strength or might. The race is not to the swift, nor riches to men of skill or understanding, but time and chance happen to all. Hear me, your chance is coming one of these days, but preparation must be in place before chance comes. Isaac will tell you, before he went there and gave the guy the knockout, apart from prayer and everything, there was preparation. There was preparation, practicing. The father with him in the night, late in the night, jogging, running, sweating, practicing, getting himself together. And when preparation met opportunity, and the guy moved, he gave it a knockout. Are you hearing me, somebody? Put your hands together. I see a knockout coming for you this week. You will knock the devil out. You have a knockout victory this week. It's coming in the name of Jesus. You believe it? Lift your hands together. Shout yes. Finish it, Bishop.
And when these lepers came to the uttermost part of the camp, they went into one tent and did eat and drink.
Look at what happened. These were lepers. These folks were rejected. They were of no use in society. Lepers. A leper! A leper! And people ran away from them. They stink, they smell. You know, God didn't use the kingdom. He didn't use the army. He used lepers to feed a whole nation. The things that God will use, you have to be very careful who you despise. I'm telling you, you don't know who will save your life. I tell my children all the time, you see this security guy, and these guys you call watchmen, drivers, everything. I said, treat them well. Oh. And your cook, treat them well. I watched a movie, Kunta Kinte, years ago. And there was this guy, he was a master over Kunta Kinte's daughter. And they didn't treat these slaves well at all. And she was sold to another plantation. And she was working at the plantation where the former master and the wife came on a chariot. And they were in need of water. So they asked her to go bring water. And even the way they told her to go and bring the water. So she went and took the water. And she spat into the water. And brought it and they drank it. And I said, you see, with all your master, you are drinking saliva. So you have to treat your cooks well. Oh. He can inject. I won't mention it. He can inject something into your food. Your driver. You can be sleeping. And you are descending a mountain. Plies the brake. Jump out. Say, see you, master. Your watchman. He go here, say, thief, they come. Oh. He go take his gun and everything. And he will run. And leave the house. And you say, master, he there for that room there. He bedroom thing there. So for you wives, be careful how you treat your maids. There are some women, they mishandle their maids. Because you are the madam. Hey, madam. Time changes. You are madam today. The maid can become a madam tomorrow. Because some of you madams, you don't know how to cook. Your cooking is bad. And she's a maid. She's a maid. She hasn't been to school, but she knows how to do ibunobunu. She can put it together. Then the man will put aside the fork, the knife, the spoon. You, when you cook, the man have to use fork and knife and spoon. And you are boasting, madam. When you have to humble yourself and befriend the girl and let her show you. And you don't tell her you are learning, but you say, come, let's cook together. Show me how you did that, the bunubunu. My own is different from yours. What do you put? You learn. You don't say, hey. And then you mishandle her. And your husband knows you can't cook bunubunu. And he's from the villages of somewhere in Ashanti, Broahafu, in the woods. The mother used to give him bunubunu. And you want to give him, you want to give him, what do you call it? Sausage. Bacon, fried chips. He don't want fried chips, brother. Sister, he wants bunubunu. And the guy is coming from Tinomsoko, Bolgatanga. He's coming from, you know, he's coming from Jejereiri. He wants tuonzafi with the okro soup where you do the thing like this. You too, if you are a maid, you didn't go to look into somebody's marriage. Just cook the food. If the master is worrying you, run. Flee, go somewhere else. Other than that, you bring a curse on you if you open your leg for the master and you drive away the wife. Somebody will also take it from you. So you know what God did? He used four leopards And you know how God did the miracle? The leper started walking. Every step they take, then God will amplify the step. Then the enemies of Israel, the Assyrians and I, they will hear, boom. Then they say, hey, the king of Israel has gone to hire other nations to come after us. Let's leave everything and flee. Look at the things they left behind. Look at it. Go ahead.
So he went into one tent and they did eat and drink. They carried then silver and gold and raiment.
What was silver and gold and raiment doing at war field? You are going to fight and you carry silver, gold, raiment. Those were the need in town. And God said to an enemy, you know, whenever people fight me, I know it's time for them to die. I'm just telling you the truth. When people come against me, when people come against me and I accept the fight, you are finished. Because you need to come against me for God to step in the equation. Because I will summon the vengeance of God. I know how to summon the vengeance of God. I'm telling you. When you attack me and I back off and I don't fight you, there's a reason. But if you attack me and I lift up my hands and I carry my Bible, I know things in that book. I know things in that book that, listen, I can invoke some things. I'm telling you. And anytime anybody has come against me, especially when there was no basis, and it was because of money, influence, connection, power. Hey, there's a simple word I've used in the past. And I said, thou God of vengeance, to whom vengeance belongs. What is his use and value to your kingdom and to humanity and to your ongoing purposes and to posterity? And why then must he live to be a thorn and to buffet your anointed and your servant? If thou be God, show forth, shine forth, O God of my vengeance. Please. You know, I don't fear people, but I respect people. Yeah. I respect people because God commanded me to. I respect. I don't disrespect. I don't dishonor people. But I don't fear people. That is one thing God didn't give to. I'm not afraid of people, but I respect people. And I honor people. Because there are people who have worked very hard and they deserve to be honored. And I respect people and I honor people. I see people in this country. I meet them. I respect them. I don't care what people think or see about them. I just respect people, whether politicians, businessmen. When I see them, I respect them. And somebody like Mr. Sam Jonah, we meet places. When I meet, I don't call him Mr. Sam Jonah. I call him Uncle Sam. I don't call him Sam Jonah. It's not a respect to me. He's a statesman, you know. I don't care if you have a problem, that is your problem, but he's a statesman to me, and when I see him, I respect him. I call him Uncle Sam. And there are so many people like that, even in this church. The Armenians, many others, I call them Uncle, Uncle. He doesn't take anything away from me. I will respect you. I will honor you. But if you cross me wrongly, I'm done. My Amin Kasebio, my giant. Did you see the things? Tell to somebody and say, how do you go to war and attack an enemy with your silver and your gold and your raiment? You leave it in the house. But that was a need in Israel. And God said, my people have a need. And you have it in abundance. I want you to carry what you have. Attack my people. You will run and leave it and my people will take it. And the prophecy came to pass. But God used four leopards. Hear me. Be careful you don't despise people. And be careful who you fight. Because sometimes you can fight your deliverer. And sometimes you can despise the vehicle that God has prepared to use to help you. Listen, don't despise people. You never know. My life has been saved several times and delivered by certain insignificant people. I'm telling you, it's amazing. I went through something in this nation some years ago, and it was very, very difficult. The person God used to get me in to a place to establish my innocence was a nobody. A nobody who had access. And said, "Papa, I think you have to go and see so-and-so." And I said, "No, don't worry. God will fight for me." And he said, "God has fought for you. You have to come with me." And he was a nobody. So in life, be careful, because you don't know. You don't know who you need in life. I respect people, and I respect people too who have done well for themselves. If you look at somebody like Ernest Tericone, he's done very well. A lot of foreigners come here, make money, take it away. But apart from Trazako, you see Villaggio, and he's built things. And you must say whatever you want to say, but at least he's done something in Ghana here that adds to Ghana. That adds to Ghana. Even though he's made money, it has added to Ghana. Others take the money out. And we have to appreciate things like that. You know, we have to be people who appreciate people who do well in our society. Not attack them, pull them down, speak ill of them because they've done better than us. And hear me, you have no right to criticize anybody until and unless you've done better than them. You are under no obligation to criticize anybody. Before you open your mouth to criticize me, you should have accomplished more than I have done. Until then, you are restricted and prohibited. Amen. You know what? Let me stop here. But when you go home after lunch, you can read that scripture for yourself. Let me show you one more scripture. 1 Kings 17 and 15. And let me stop with that. 1 Kings 17 and 15. Remember that he did according to the word of the Lord. Look at somebody else who also did according to the word of the Lord.
And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah. And she and he and her house did eat many days.
You see? According, the situation was bad. There was famine. He had her last meal. And it's very insensitive for somebody to tell you, "Share your last meal with me before you die." And you die. It's very insensitive. But she did according to the word of the prophet. And the Bible says she and her house and the prophet did live many, 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 many days. Hear me. The times we live in, you are either going to do it according to the word of the Lord by faith, or you are going to depend on your senses and do it man's way, and you won't survive. I'm telling you. Many won't survive. Many will die because they choose not to do it God's way. They choose to hold on to. They choose not to release. And they will follow their own way and the way of man, and they won't survive. But those who will do it God's way, I guarantee you, that when men are cast down, you will have the audacity to say, "There is a lifting up." Amen.